Welcome to Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. We are located at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. If you don't have a home, church, we would love for you to consider making your home with us. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school at 10 a.m. and Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. Sunday night Bible study begins at 6 p.m. and Wednesday night prayer meeting starts at 6 p.m. Now it's time to enjoy a wonderful anointed message from Pastor Jimmy Haining.
Amen. If you got your Bibles with you still, turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. When you get there, skip down to verse 20. And when he being Jesus, was demanded of the Pharisees, like they could demand anything of the Lord, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Thank God for that. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here, or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteth unto the one part under heaven, shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things, and be rejected of this generation. Boy, isn't that the truth. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered, where? Into the ark. And notice what comes after that. And the flood came after they entered into the ark and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, and then it goes a little bit farther, they planted and they built. But the same day that Lot, what? Went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, and what did it do? It destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is. I want you to catch this line. Wheresoever the body is, there will the eagles be gathered together. For just a few moments this morning, I want to touch on the question, rather, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? Brother Gene, as we enter into this new year, I wonder if we could go around all the churches, the evangelical churches that preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I wonder, Brother Archie, how many members in those churches, I wonder what they're looking for. I wonder what they've got in mind as a goal. I wonder what they've got in mind, Brother Darren, as far as what is important to them in this year coming up. With the help of the Lord this morning, I want to kind of steer us into the direction that I think the Spirit would have us to be steered into. The scriptures we just read as concerning Noah and Lot, we're going to come back to that here in a little minute, but I want you to keep in mind Lot's wife as we go through these. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 11, this is our key verse, but just to kind of give you some background coming leading up to this verse, you remember the parable Jesus gave of the king and the lord of the house that had a big banquet. And he invited many people to come. And Brother Ronnie, he sent out, and none of them showed up. You know how the story goes? He said, all right, he told his servants, he said, go out into the highways, the hedges, tell the street people to come in. Anybody you can get it all so that my house can be filled. All right, and so this key verse comes into play. And when the king came in to see the guests, remember that. He came in to see the guests. He saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Now, but the part I want us to focus in on for today is he came in to see the guest. He came in, Brother Archie, to check them out. Now, he had already told his servants to go out and bring them in. He said, I don't care what kind they are, Brother Tom, bring them in. Kind of reminds me of a few weeks ago when Brother Tom and Sister Brenda brought in a little newspaper clip. And a month or so ago, the Lord had laid a thought message on my heart. And if you remember, I was using the parable of the pastor who dressed up like a homeless person, came into the church, and before he came in the church, even outside on the steps, and how everybody walked past him wouldn't have anything to do with him. And it's kind of what we're seeing here with this parable. This king, Sister Brenda, saying, I don't care what kind they are, bring them in. Isn't that a message? Now, I'm not going to get meddly this morning, I promise, but I just want to throw this in there for good measure. Notice he didn't say they had to look a certain way. Notice he didn't say they had to smell or talk or whatever. And I'll just leave it right there. But he came in to see the guests. Now, here's where the key is. He came in to check them out. What was he checking for? He was looking for a wedding garment. And there's only one way to have that wedding garment, as we know, and you've got to come through the blood of Jesus Christ. So Jesus gave this parable. The first thing I want you to remember is the first person that came looking for the guest. He came to check out the guest. Matthew 26:58, speaking of Peter, when Jesus is being led before Pilate and all the things that took place there. And in this verse it says, Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Or in other words, the situation's end. What's going to happen next? Peter went with one thing in mind. Brother Gene, he didn't go with the thought in mind of trying to rescue his Lord. If you remember, he was a coward. He was asked three times, aren't you one of his? And all three times he denied. The third time he began to curse. But the Bible says he came to see the end. In Matthew 28:1, listen to this. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, to see the sepulchre. They came to see the sepulchre. In other words, they came to see the gravesite. That's what they had on their mind. Luke 10:24, Jesus says, for I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them. Revelation 1:12 said, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me. The first person came to see his guests. The second person came to see the situation's end. The third person, or two people that came to see a gravesite. But the one I want to talk about, some came to see Jesus. Some came to see Jesus. Can I tell you this morning that one of the biggest problems that the church world is guilty of making today is being too fixated, too obsessed, if you will, with a noun. A noun is a person, place, or thing. I may remember Schoolhouse Rock. Boy, that cartoon got me through many English classes, I'll tell you. But there's a lot of Christians today. I say Christians. The Bible talks about, the Apostle Paul called them carnal Christians. Sister Crystal, they are fixated on the noun. They're looking at the person, they're looking at the place, or they're looking at the thing. But Hebrews in chapter 12 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. When we skip back to our scripture text, and we were speaking there about the days of Noah, some of the things that were mentioned there, Sister Robin, that they were interested in, those people were caught up in. They were caught up in food. That is an Achilles heel of the church, I'm telling you. I had a pastor one time tell me, us Pentecostals are walking heart attacks. He said, think about it. He said, our lifestyle, We have church in the evening service. What do we do after the service is over? Go to McDonald's, go to Burger King, go wherever. And that's not healthy, is it, to eat that late? They were caught up in the food. They were caught up in the drink. Now, that covers a little bit of territory there. That's not just talking about having a drink of water. That covers it all. You remember the story of Noah. You remember the story of Lot. Both of them had a booze problem. And we're talking about the Old Testament now, where God winked at ignorance, you know. And people try to lift those scriptures out of context and say, well, it's okay for Christians to drink. I beg to differ with you. My Bible tells me to abstain from the very appearance of evil. We know what that leads to. We know that it wrecks and ruins and marriages. It causes people to do crazy things that they normally wouldn't do in their right mind. So they were given to food. They were given to drink. They were marrying. They were given in marriage until the day that the flood came. Caught them off guard. And notice the scripture said, first Noah entered into the ark and then the flood. And then we come to Lot. And in the account of Lot here in the scriptures we just read, it covers even more territory. It names the first four, but then it goes on to say that they planted and they built. Now, I want you to think about something. Again, I'm not meddling, I'm just putting it out there. But today, in today's church world as a whole, with many Christians, it's more important, rather than being at the house of God on Sunday morning, Sunday night, whenever the church doors are open, on a beautiful sunny day, Brother Archie, it's more important to be out on that bass boat doing some fishing. On a nice, beautiful, sunny day, it's more important to be at one of them festivals, whatever it might be, buying one of them crafts. Got to go around and check out the crafts. Got to go to Walmart. Got to go to Kmart. Got to go to the thrift store. Got to go to the flea market. It's more important on a nice, bright, sunny day for some Christians to be at home washing and waxing that new car rather than being in the house of God. What I'm talking about here this morning, in case you haven't figured it out, it's a question. What are you looking for? The Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If our treasure is in the noun instead of Jesus, then we have our reward right here. It's as good as it gets. But Brother Gene, if our treasure is in Jesus, we're going to want to be everywhere Jesus is. I've had pastors more than people ask me, why in the world, what makes you think, why in the world do you want to keep singing on the side and playing music when you're a pastor in a church? And I tell them the same thing every time. I've had several of them ask me that. And I tell them the same thing, Brother Archer. My Bible tells me whatsoever I can find to do with my hands, to do it with all of my might. Any opportunity that I get to be a light or a witness, somebody walks up to me and sparks up a conversation, the way I look at it, Sister Brenda, if they got a right to talk about NASCAR and football and anything else they want to talk about, I got a right to talk about Jesus. I got a right to ask them questions just like they have a right to ask me questions. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now I keep talking about the noun, but people make a big deal about people. I know this is borderline meddling. I'm trying hard not to do it. But a lot of Christians can name the name of every NASCAR driver. They can name the name of most of those athletes on their favorite football team. And they can go a step further and tell you their statistics. But if you ask them to name three scriptures by heart from the Word of God, they sound like Jackie Gleason, ha, 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 ha. Why? Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. People get caught up in people and they don't realize that all of us were made after His image. And rather than making man our hero, rather than making man an image, an idol image, the one we should be looking to is Jesus. Not only people, still speaking of the noun, people are caught up with things. I'm talking about this new year rolling around here. What are you looking for? Whatever you're looking for, remember Lot's wife. What are you looking for? Whatever you're looking for, remember Lot's wife. I'm going to say it one more time because I want that to soak in. What are you looking for? Whatever you're looking for, just remember Lot's wife. The Bible said like this back in Genesis, that God sent those angels right in the center where Sodom and Gomorrah, where Lot and his family was. And the Bible said Lot went to his sons-in-laws and he began to preach to them, if you will. You got to get out of here. God's going to destroy this place because of the wickedness. And what did the Bible say? He was as one unto them that beat the air. I want you to think about that. How many times does the world look at us like we're nuts? Well, they've lost their mind. They're a bunch of religious fanatical lunatics. It's okay, I'll be a fanatic for Jesus. But the Bible said that he was in their eyes as one basically that was a nut. His words didn't mean anything to him. Now, this is the part I want you to really pay attention to. The Bible said, those angels said, come on, you got to get out of here. God's going to do this place is getting ready to be destroyed. And this is what the Bible said. While they tarried, I wish I could go back in time and see the look on the angel's face. Because the Bible said the angel just grabbed him by the hand, grabbed Lot by the hand, grabbed his wife by her hand, and the two daughters, as it was very specific, grabbed them all by the hand, whoosh, took them out of the place, set them outside of the camp, and said, run for your lives and don't look back. Well, here we go again. Lot starts to bargain with him. He said, the angel said, run to the mountains. Lot said, no. I'm afraid if I go that direction, some evil's going to befall me and I might get killed. Now, I want you to think how stupid that sounds. God just told you to run to the mountain where you're going to find, and I'm afraid, Brother Darren, I might get killed if I do that. Amen. Sounds like a lot of modern day Christians, doesn't it? If it's really you, Lord, shake your left leg and pick your nose and I'll know it's God. You know, you can go overboard with putting fleeces before God. Sometimes God's very specific. And finally, the angel of the Lord said, all right, fine. We won't destroy this city, Zoar. Now, here's the real funny part before I get back to Lot's wife. At the conclusion of all that, the Bible said Lot ended up leaving there anyway because he was afraid them people's going to get him because his God destroyed the cities. He just listened to begin with. So they're running. And the Bible says Lot's wife looked back. When she looked back, as you know, she became a pillar of salt. Now the question is this, what in the world was she looking at? What was she looking for? She was looking for a noun. You didn't know you were going to get an English lesson this morning, did you? She was looking back to her children that were still there, her people, person. No doubt she was looking back to her things. You go in some of these women's houses and you start to bother their trinkets and you're going to have a fight on your hands. Especially if they're roosters or chickens. I had to throw that one in there. Finally, she was looking back to the place that God led them out of. The Word of God says it like this. Any man, listen, having putting his hands to the plow, Brother Herb be able to relate to this. And looking back is not even fit for the kingdom of God. Now, what did he mean by that? You talk to any farmer back in the day when they used those kinds of plows. And they're blazing the trail. Furrow, I think, is what they call it. There's no way you're going to draw a straight line with that plow looking back. That line's going to be crookeder than the back broken leg of a dog, so to speak. Or as they say down in Kentucky, the way the crow flies. No man, having putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom. Remember Lot's wife. What are you looking for? Whatever you're looking for, remember Lot's wife. I know I'm redundant this morning, but I want it to sink in. As long as there's breath still in your lungs, as long as your heart's still beating, as long as God has allowed you to come to this place, place this morning and sit here in safety, there's still hope for you. But I'm here to tell you, if you keep looking back, if you keep looking back, if you keep looking back, if you keep looking back at the noun, you will die in your sin. Remember Lot's wife. I want you to think about that. I don't know if you put it together yet or not, but Lot made it out. His two daughters made it out. Mommy didn't make it. How would you feel? Your brother makes it, and you don't. The Bible said there'll be two men in the bed. I picture that as brothers. The one will be taken, the other left. Two women grinding at the mill. The one will be taken, the other left. How would you feel to know that your family made it and you are left behind? And I get so sick and tired of hearing these people say, I'll live for God during the tribulation period. I'll let them cut my head off, will you? I'll throw this in there. I promise I'm about ready to close. When we got down to Tennessee this past week, dummy us, waited until it got dark, go up in the mountains, couldn't tell where we were going. But worse than that, we didn't think enough to go to the store and get a few things. And the next day was Christmas. And everybody knows everything's closed on Christmas. And my little girls begin to whine. My wife began to whine. I began to whine. The only thing missing was the drink, or the cheese, I guess. But anyway, here we are. No food in there, but just crumbs. Just crumbs, as my little girl said. All right, let me say, we had a bag. We had a bag of caramel popcorn. We're on the way down, and me and Crystal's just chomping on this stuff, you know. And it was Rachel's bag, you know. And so, finally we hear, Mommy, can I have some? And she looks at me with that grin on her face, and she reaches that bag back. And she looks at me, she says, I'll eat the crumbs. It's a good thing I didn't go off the road on that one. That was pretty funny. I remember another time coming down the stairs at home, and I don't remember what it was, but it was hers. Oh, it was potato chips, and she likes them sour onion and cream, whatever they are, potato chips. And I was just watching whatever I was watching, just shoveling it in, you know. Daddy, can I have some? And I looked in the bag and gave it to her, and she goes up the steps, and oops, she goes, crumbs, just crumbs. Sometimes. Sometimes I think that's the way people are in church. But to get back to my thought, how did I get off on all that? Lord help. They're going to serve God during the tribulation period. They're going to let somebody cut their head off. I'm talking about one day we were whining and complaining because all we had was chocolate. Somebody loaded my girls up with chocolate, by the way. I mean, how many chocolate suckers? Crystal said, I think Sister Robin didn't mean for all us to get all them chocolate suckers. I think that was meant for some of them other kids. We had a whole bag full of chocolate suckers, and Lizzie's just back here bouncing off the walls, you know. So here we are. All we got's chocolate, crackers, whatever. And man, I'm really wanting some food, you know. And people say they're going to serve God when there's no food, when you hear babies everywhere crying for milk and they can't get it, All right, that's not my message, so let me stay on track here. What are you looking for? Whatever you're looking for, whatever you're looking for, just remember Lot's wife. What we need to be looking for, and not only in this new year, but in however many years the Lord gives us to come, we need to be looking to Jesus. And I'll end it on this note. The grass is not always greener on the other side. That's a lie. and a trick of the devil. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. Father, we're thankful for your word. Trust, Lord God, that the message has found lodging in our hearts this morning. Father, I ask that you'll send your spirit. There be those here this morning, Lord, that need a change. They've been looking back, but Lord, they need to get their eyes back on you. I pray that the Spirit will begin to deal with their hearts. Help them to see, Father, that the other side is not so green after all. That there's many heartaches that lie down that road. Help them to see, Lord, that true joy comes only from serving you. Because, Lord, at the end of the day, it's not about the noun. It's not about the person. It's not about the place. And it's not about the thing. It's about looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I wonder, while every head is bowed and every eye closed, would there be one here? You're lost. You've never been saved. You've never asked Jesus in your heart. Some of them might say, Brother Jimmy, I've looked around. I don't think there's anybody here like that. Well, I don't either, but I just like to be sure. Would there be a hand go up and say, Pastor, I've never really prayed the sinner's prayer. I've never asked Jesus in my heart, but I'd like to this morning. Would there be a hand go up anywhere? If not, maybe you're here this morning and you've been saved, but right now you're in a backslidden condition. And if our Lord and Savior were to split those eastern skies today, you know that you would not make it, because there's things you're doing in secret. There's things you're doing that only you and God know about. There's things that your own spouse doesn't know about. There's things your parents don't know about. There's things your kids don't know about. There'd be one slip up their hand and say, Pastor, that's me this morning, and I want to be ready. I want to rededicate my life to God. I want to get back on that straight path. I don't want to look behind anymore. I want to look straight ahead. Would there be a hand go up and say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not going to ask you to come. There's one honest hand went up this morning. I'm not going to come back. There's two. I'm not going to come back to you and try to drag you to this altar. But if you're here this morning and you know you wouldn't make it, would you slip your hand up and join these other two that were honest this morning and say, yes, that's me. And I want to know that I'm right before God. Now, I'm not one of these pastors or preachers that belabors things. I believe if you're ready to pray, you're ready to pray. And if you're not, that's between you and God. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask each and every one of us to join these two that raised their hand and find a place to pray. And keep this in your mind while you're praying. What am I looking for? Whatever I'm looking for, I need to remember Lot's wife. Would you come pray this morning?
You've been blessed by today's message by Pastor Jimmy Haney and Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. Pastor Jimmy and the congregation would like to invite you to visit with them in service at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. We will see you again right here next week.
Saved by grace. His love changed me. That old man I HLERadio.com, Jennings, Louisiana.